It is Friday. I wish it was. Way to enter a show, Chris. That's how tired I am, folks. It is Wednesday. Wednesday night.
Hey, it could be worse. You could have said Superdome or Silverdome instead of Superdome.
Yeah, I totally Hulk Hogan that.
Brother.
Minus the whole racism. It is Wednesday
night. Really? Minus? That's what you're going with.
It is Wednesday night. That means it is Brain Stew Wrestling Night. Halfway through the week, guys.
Halfway there, guys.
Halfway there. Number to call, 908-854-4228. That's 908-854-4228. Or tweet us at BSR Wrestling on Twitter.
And yes, we are aware that Austin's Twitter also has BSR in it. Just relax.
Same three letters. Get over it.
Get it.
I already can't wait to tape the South Park episode. But until then, let's talk some wrestling.
Wrestling.
We entered the show tonight with the Smashing Pumpkins in dedication to probably the savior of TNA wrestling, Billy Corgan.
I mean, I'd like to think so. The problem is it too late? Like, they've kind of, like,
dropped the ball many of times?
Yes,
they have.
They've dropped the ball. Like, Dixie Carter did, like, Eric Bischoff later in his run, like, style damage to that, the credibility of TNA. So at this point, Corgan might be coming in too late. Like, the people who took over after Russo and Bischoff were told to get the fuck out. But at that point, it's like, you have a talented roster, but nobody cares at this point. So just be prepared for the time when Vince McMahon purchases it and has Shane pretend to purchase it himself.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned it, because we're going to start off tonight's show with our top story, which is Billy Corgan is in talks to become the majority owner of TNA Wrestling. And you know it's big when the New York Post and major media outlets are talking about pro wrestling. They usually save that for wrestler says something controversial, wrestler does something really dumb, or wrestler kills family and self. But the New York Post came out in their business section with the article, Billy Corgan in talks to become majority owner of TNA Wrestling. He has invested a lot of his personal money into the company, and I believe he is a 30% owner now, I believe. So Dixie Carter is all but gone.
So basically what happened was she wanted to run it, and mommy and daddy were like, no, you're not running it anymore. You're losing your pony. Like, because essentially they bought it so she could run a wrestling federation. Into the ground, but she ran a wrestling federation. And what I'm going to miss, though, is the crying Dixie meme.
I am going to miss that. I think the biggest thing we could take from this is one of our favorite memes in wrestling is going bye-bye.
Yeah.
Just in sports with the crying Jordan, we're going to miss the crying Dixie Carter, because especially with what's happened in WWE in the past couple of weeks, that meme has seen a lot of traffic over the internet.
Yep.
Between Kevin Owens and AJ Styles especially.
Well, yeah. Kevin Owens was never on TNA, but AJ Styles was their face, and then they lowballed him. All he wanted was enough of a pay raise to stay there so that he wouldn't have to, you know, he could provide for his family, which is fair enough. At the time, he had three kids.
Man has a family.
Yeah, now he has four kids. And he bet on himself. TNA underestimated him. And then he went to New Japan, killed it, went to WWE, and convinced Vince McMahon to let a guy who wasn't his creation, who's not the ideal body size that Vince likes in a wrestler, to become the champion of the belt that has been their main title for five decades.
It really is amazing that AJ Styles has won. Is there a title in any promotion that he hasn't won yet? Like, every major indie title he's won.
The only world title he never won in the indies that he wrestled in was Ring of Honor.
Okay, he never won the Ring of Honor championship.
He was the Ring of Honor pure champion, but I think that was when Samoa Joe was their champion for, like, years.
Okay, so other than the Ring of Honor world title, he's won basically every major championship in the world of independent and pro and, like, major market wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I can't remember. It was either Samoa Joe or Daniel Bryan when he was Bryan Danielson, who was actually the champion while AJ was the Ring of Honor pure champion.
So here's one of the quotes that Corgan said to the New York Post. Corgan believes wrestling is underappreciated in the digital era, particularly in the light of its being a driver of traditional TV from the beginning. And quote here, "Our providing storylines in people's lives is overlooked," he said. "So is a multicultural aspect of wrestling as a perfect sell to advertisers." So between that and a lot of things that Corgan has said throughout the past year or two with his involvement in TNA wrestling, it sounds to me like he really wants to do right by this. And there is a rumor that WWE threw out a, let's see if they bite offer to TNA.
And they didn't bite.
They did not bite. And from what I'm hearing, the offer that WWE offered is nowhere near as much money as Billy has invested into the business. So one can only imagine what WWE first off thinks of TNA and think of how much it's worth versus how much money did Billy Corgan put into this that that people are saying that it's not enough to save the business.
I mean, like, here's the thing though, with that, like, the one thing I do have to say as far as that's concerned is, TNA, it's no WCW. I mean, I can understand why Vince wanted to buy WCW and why he paid what he needed to pay.
You're right, WCW was once successful.
Yeah, like, they were successful. Like, they were a legitimate threat to WWE. Meanwhile, TNA has to move days whenever WWE shifts their days to a day that TNA is. That's how afraid of competing with WWE
remember,
they are.
Remember a few years ago when TNA wanted to put Impact on Monday nights next to Raw? And see how quickly that went away? I mean, as a wrestling fan, I was like, oh, cool, I get to be, I get to remember the good old days. Nope. That lasted much quicker than a Dolph Ziggler push.
Well, because Hulk Hogan said the word ass. That's edgy. All right, going back to Raw now.
Right. But as far as that WWE offer, because this would be huge, because TNA, let's be honest here, has an extensive library of content. They have a lot of great matches. Believe it or not, guys, TNA actually did produce some very good wrestling at one point. And the library would be great to watch on the network, not to mention the inevitable The Rise and Fall of TNA.
I mean, The Rise? Really? That's what you want to use?
I mean, it has to have some sort of...
The middling and fall of TNA. I mean, let's face it.
TNA is basically... when you try to build a campfire and you get one little glimmer of ember going, and then it just fades out. It was never a big blaze. It almost caught, and it just died.
They would essentially be contact like buying TNA to have the tape library for when they do a future AJ Styles DVD.
Right, and also they would finally have to acknowledge that Sting did something between his short run in WWE and his WCW run.
Yeah, they kind of acknowledge that the same way they acknowledge Chris Benoit, which is not at all.
Right. Following up on the New York Post report over the weekend that WWE recently made an offer to buy TNA, Dave Meltzer confirmed on the Wrestling Observer Radio that WWE has made at least one offer to acquire the struggling promotion, but it was an, quote, unofficial offer and not recently.
So the
primary asset WWE would be interested in is obviously TNA's extensive tape library, which...
Yep, which, that's their thing, is buying up tape libraries. Like, even if they don't care, like, they probably wouldn't sign a lot of the talent. I mean, there's very few talent that's worth signing from TNA. I mean, okay, they do have talented wrestlers, but the only people that I would see WWE being like, I want them, are, like, maybe MVP and the American Wolves.
Maybe. I mean... I don't even think they would be interested in Matt Hardy, even if he came in as his broken Matt Hardy character, which...
I mean, they might not touch Jeff because Jeff just couldn't...
Oh, he's damaged goods. He's long since damaged goods. But Meltzer also reported that Billy Corgan has invested more money into acquiring only 30% ownership of the company than WWE offered to buy the entire company. So that just shows how little TNA is... in the eyes of WWE.
They're just like, yeah, you're so irrelevant to us. Like, we're literally going to give you, like, offer you less for your whole company than Corgan did for like a third of your company.
And Corgan is hoping to purchase TNA prior to their Bound of Glory, which is their WrestleMania, which takes place on October 2nd. So, next week.
All right. I mean, I'm sure there'll be, like, they'll get a curiosity spike in ratings to see what they're going to be like. That first episode with Billy Corgan running, like, things as, like, a one-third owner, they're going to need to be on point. If not, they're not going to, like, everyone's going to just say, F it. I don't care. I don't care if it means not watching wrestling tonight. I'm not watching TNA.
But let's go back to what you asked at the top of the show here. Is it too late for TNA? That's the big question here. I mean, after the infamous Bound of Glory, not Bound for Glory, that infamous match with Jeff Hardy and Sting, Victory Road 2011.
Yep.
I think when that happened.
Oh, God, that match still makes me, like, cringe.
I think when that match happened, that was it. That was the sinking ship moment for TNA.
Let's be honest, there's a lot of things that are, like, a sinking ship moment for TNA. They did everything they could do wrong, horribly wrong. Like, they could have been mediocre in what they were doing, and they would have been fine, and they still managed to screw that up. Because all they had to do was be better than WWE at the time. That's all they had to do, and they blundered that. Like, TNA is a recurring disaster at this point, which is why I have no faith. And I see we're showing the match in its entirety, all like 30 seconds of the match.
I mean, look at the guys announcing it, and Jeff is clearly
on something.
Jeff is clearly out of his mind right there. And Sting sees it.
Yeah.
Sting can see. And this prompted Eric Bischoff to break script, come out and say some bullshit to try to stay face here.
Yep.
And
basically that was, all right. So I've mentioned something on for different matches. When they do a change of plans for a match, for whatever reason, like, so this was Bischoff, like, coming in to relay information to the referee. Which I believe he did subtly before he started his promo. So that was him, like, you know, letting the referee, letting him know or let Sting know, hey, just clench him up and just get it. Let's get out of here and end this match before Jeff Hardy gets someone hurt, probably himself or you.
So Sting, of course, hits.
Like, Jeff Hardy's walking.
Yeah, Bischoff.
Yeah. Jeff Hardy's walking like a guy with way too many Zimas. Like, that's, like, just, it's bad. Like, he's,
and right here, you can even see it. Look at, as Hardy is goes to the corner, and you see Sting.
Sting's like, what?
Like, what are you doing? And then the whole thing.
And then Hardy kicked out. Like, he tried. Like, he's like, what just? Like, Hardy has no clue what happened. Like, his face is someone who's like, wait, I was supposed to have a longer match than this.
Sting finishes it right there. One, two.
And he tried to kick out, like, and Sting's like, no, not happening. Like,
and you see Sting holding the title, and he's just disgusted.
That was the low point for TNA.
This, to me, was the true beginning of the end for TNA wrestling. After this happened, I checked out. I checked out of TNA entirely, and there are no words. You want to see a low point in the world of pro wrestling? Watch this Victory Road 2011. Just Google it. Sting versus Jeff Hardy.
Let's be honest. If it were WWE, Sting, they would have done an audible. Like, Hardy would not even entered and went to the ring. They would have given a fill-in opponent. They would have been like, you know, you're not wrestling tonight. Get the fuck out of here. And they would have brought in a replacement opponent.
So, but this leads to the big question. Is it too late for TNA? I say, you know what? For the sake of all the talent that's there, That's still there. A lot of guys that I probably would never expect to perform in WWE because they're just not at that level. I would say, I'm saying yes, it is too late for TNA, but I'm ashamed to say it because I don't like seeing a promotion go out of business.
They've got the roster to rebound, but I think they're such damaged goods that it's going to take a lot more than I think they can deliver.
And they're not even damaged goods with themselves anymore. They're damaged goods in the eyes of us.
No, that's
fans.
What I mean. Like, because of them, what they've done in the past, they're that damaged and to the point where, like, fans just don't give a shit.
I mean, the only thing that's keeping TNA relevant these days is Broken Matt Hardy. And even then, Mike, Broken Matt Hardy, people are watching for Broken Matt Hardy because it's both very bad and very good at the same time.
Yeah.
It's one of those really bad American Pie spinoff movies where it's somewhat funny, but mostly it's a train wreck, but you want to watch anyway.
Yeah, like, and they've got one of the hottest like angles of the year, as far as like
it's
going
my pick
viral.
For gimmick of the year, Broken Matt Hardy. It's the gimmick of the year.
They've got a lot they can build on to try to bounce back. I just, outside of the Matt Hardy stuff, which has a short shelf life, I don't think they have what it takes.
Yeah, once Broken Matt Hardy gets old, and it will get old, guys. Mm-hmm. It will get old.
Eventually, like everything else that's entertaining in wrestling, eventually it runs its course and it becomes too aware of what it is and to the point where it gets not as authentic.
Look what happened with when John Cena was the face of the company. Everyone started cheering for him. He got boring. Every gimmick at some point, no matter how good it is, gets boring.
There's a difference, though. Though, like, Matt Hardy will run his course as Broken Matt Hardy, John Cena eventually got booed because of the way he was force-fed and the way they portrayed him. That was not even his fault. It was Vince McMahon trying to...
Right, but what I'm saying is, like, the same routine over and over again. That's what I'm trying to get here. Broken Matt Hardy doing his delete thing. I'm like, oh, it's still good now.
Give it a few months.
Exactly. Give it by the end of this year. Broken Matt Hardy will have run its course. And then TNA will have nothing.
Also, with John Cena, there was a crappier roster around him during those years. People were like, even the better ones were like past their prime at that point. And the younger talent they had in weren't really that good at wrestling, with a few exceptions.
Okay. Number two story of the week. An update on Vince McMahon. Earlier this week, Vince McMahon was scheduled to undergo surgery for an injury sustained while weight training. 71 years old, and he's still weight training like crazy.
Yeah, he's ridiculous, man.
He tore one of his quads during squats, and that's just because he was trying to squat too much weight.
How much was he trying to squat, that crazy old
todger? I don't know, but enough that it tore the quad in his leg.
Oh,
so,
God.
And he
stopped stealing Kevin Nash's gimmick.
Details are sketchy because Vince wanted to keep the story as quiet as possible.
I can see that. Vince is very private with stuff like that.
Vince missed Backlash, Raw, and SmackDown last week, according to Wrestling Observer. The 71-year-old CEO was said to be squatting a significant amount of weight, so I'm guessing at least 500-plus.
Oh, so that's why the quality of those shows is much better than usual.
I'm guessing at least 500.
At least, yeah. He's, like, Vince, he's, like, he's an old guy, but he is still pretty muscular for his age, especially for his age.
But here's the part that made me want to talk about this. Direct here from SE Scoops. Vince still lifting such heavy weights and WWE putting out an announcement stating he'd be back in the office right after surgery is being seen as a sign that he's, quote, still Vince and not really showing signs of slowing down. The guy's 71 years old.
Yeah.
He tears a quad, he's going to get surgery, and he's going to be right back to work?
For those who don't know...
Vince McMahon's a monster. He's a cyborg. I mean, no wonder why John Cena loves him so much. Cena can die and come back to life, and he'll be at the Royal Rumble in a month.
Like, all right, people don't know, like, who don't know this about Vince McMahon and his work day, he runs on 3 hours of sleep. Like, which is insane. He only sleeps 3 hours because before he does a business day, which he where he works more than 8 hours, like, he is legitimately a workaholic. And, I mean, to the point where on sleep, he says, I don't like to sleep. I'm missing something when I'm sleeping.
Okay, so according to some weight magazines that have interviewed Vince, his max squat is 700 pounds.
Jesus Christ. Holy shit.
The guy's 71 and his max squat is 700 pounds.
Oh my God. His, like, his max...
Like, there are NFL stars who can't do that.
My max squat is slightly less than Vince McMahon's max squat. I don't know if I should be impressed with myself or sad that a 70-year-old man is doing better than me with that.
I managed to get, like, 500 up once, and then I was like, kill me. I was begging to die at 500.
Actually, what I want to know is his max squat one rep or multiple reps?
I have no idea.
One rep, but when you're powerlifting, it's one rep, but still, like, 800 pounds. Yeah, like, all right. So, like, here's how, like, Vince eats, breathes, and shits wrestling, like, WWE business-related stuff. Like, to the point where he's watched very few movies. Like, and when he does watch one, you'll know what movie he watched because he immediately incorporates something from it into a storyline. Like, There's Something About Mary, I think, was, like, the last movie he saw. And he did, the fake chest thing with Mae Young afterwards. So, like, he... Like, I'm using the movie thing because that's how much he invests in his business. I'm surprised he was able to help raise two kids. Well, Linda probably.
I mean, we and many other wrestling podcasts out there, wrestling talk shows, we criticize when WWE drops the ball on something. But I don't think anybody, even the most anti-Vince McMahon hater out there, can deny how much of a work ethic Vince McMahon has and love that he has for the business. There's no stopping him, Mike. He's 71 years old. He tears a quad while squatting at least 500 pounds.
At least, yeah. Like,
at least. And he's already going to be back at work after surgery and not even going through rehab. The guy is an animal.
That's what workaholics do. Vince probably hated the fact that he missed Raw, SmackDown, and Backlash.
You know what it was? He probably asked someone what Mark Henry's is squatting.
He's like,
because it is known that Vince loves to outperform his wrestlers when they work out together. He is
the most competitive shark in the water.
No one can have, no matter who you are, Mike, no matter what line of work you do, no matter whether you love wrestling, you hate wrestling, whether you love WWE, hate WWE, you can't not respect Vince McMahon. You just can't.
Well, I mean,
you have to respect him for his sheer determination, his stubbornness, his sheer ferocious competitive nature, and the fact that no matter what, he will always stay by his business.
Yeah, I will say
you have to respect him.
When it comes to Vince McMahon, like, I don't want him touching the booking for Divas divisions or women's divisions, because then we get the, like, early Divas era type booking.
And we get Santino Marella.
Yeah, and then then we get Santino Marella dressing in drag and saying he's his sister. Yes, he doesn't always book the guys that people want to see, but one thing I will also give him credit for, aside from being a beast and a workaholic when it comes to this stuff, is he eventually listens. He's stubborn.
He's a stubborn old guy, but he eventually does listen to people.
And it might take one of his chosen ones failing a wellness test, but eventually, like, the top guys...
Real specific there with Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Then eventually he might have to, like, push people like an AJ or Kevin Owens or Seth Rollins instead of Roman, and it winds up making better TV than what Vince was going for. But he at least knows how to adapt when something's gone to the point where he's got to wash his hands of a storyline.
And our final story, which isn't even a story, it's more like a milestone, Mike, do you know that 10 years ago this week was Trish Stratus's final match in WWE?
Holy shit, 10 years ago.
So Trish posted a post on her Instagram. I have it up here. And I'm reading it verbatim here. 10 years ago today, I took my final bow at the Air Canada Center in front of my hometown crowd. A bittersweet day as I was closing the chapter of my WWE career, but I was about to embark on the next chapters of the rest of my life. I couldn't have asked for a more perfect setting to say goodbye, to have my retirement match in Toronto against my arch rival and bestie, Lita, and to do something that had never been done before, to enter the history books as a 7-time women's champion. Well, it was something dreams are made of. Even too amazing for an ambitious, athletic wrestling fangirl to dream of, who would have thought that the opportunity to be a part of the WWE family I was presented with in 1999 would have led to this. All I knew in 1999 was I was capable athletically, and I had a passion for wrestling that was fueled by a drive and ambition that had pushed me to be the best in every other area of my life. I knew that if I was given the chance, I would take that ball and run. I knew I wanted to change the perception of how women were viewed in the wrestling world. I knew I wanted to be remembered as one of the best. I'm thankful for the opportunities WWE gave me and for having Fit Finlay being my partner in crime to help navigate them. It's amazing how many times Fit Finlay's name comes up behind the scenes when developing talent.
Yep.
I'm thankful for all the hardworking, athletic, kick-ass ladies I got to work with, and I'm thankful to have had the support of you guys for the whole ride, watching me fall down and then dust myself up and get up, watching me grow up before your very eyes, and to have you guys still here by my side is everything. It's been 10 years since I retired, 16 years since I started wrestling, and here we still stand. I've still got some stratisfaction to deliver if you want it. Here's to another decade of stratisfaction.
I'm just picturing her writing that while sipping her pumpkin spice latte in yoga pants.
Well,
she does kind of seem
that's
basic.
Kind of amazing that Trish Stratus is known for all of her accomplishments and being one of the best divas to ever lace up a pair of boots. She wrestled for less than 7 years.
Yeah.
And it's been 10 years since she retired. She wrestled a total of 6 to 7 years.
Let's face it, though, with the WWE schedule,
that's
more impressive than
and not to mention
it's given credit for.
And not to mention, she was one of the faces of the women's division.
Yep.
Back then, when the term divas meant, hey, these girls actually kick a lot of ass in the ring and they look beautiful.
It was the women's division. It wasn't even the divas division yet because it was the women's championship.
They called them divas back then,
but like it was the women's championship. So it was like,
It was called the women's championship, but they were still referred to as divas.
Hated the term divas.
I didn't mind it. I would have been like, all right, the women's division, divas division, it doesn't matter.
Diva has a bitchy connotation to it.
I think now it does, but back then.
Well, I think the word in general, because like when someone's called a diva, all right, Hammy, when someone calls you an audio diva.
Well, yeah, I know what we're calling someone a diva means. It implies that they're a little, you know.
And they try to do like, no, that's not what we mean, though, when we say divas. Okay? That's not what we mean. No, that's what the word means, like, essentially what the word means.
But the women's division went from beautiful women who can kick a lot of ass to beautiful women who didn't really do that much other than looked beautiful on camera. And now it's starting to transition back. And you can hear more about our discussion on women's wrestling by downloading the latest episode of Good Girls Bad Thoughts, now available at BrainZRadio.com, where we invaded the ladies' shows and talked about the Divas Division, the women's championship, and how important women's wrestling is in the eyes of WWE. Download that today. It was a fun show to do.
Yeah, usually when talking wrestling, I'm like the smartest one in the room, but it was a tough pill to swallow being third best.
Okay, that was a throwback. Ah, marriage.
Hey, Hammy, at least if your marriage was in a WWE ring, it would have lasted 5 minutes.
Too bad my wedding didn't end like a WWE wedding.
Hammy was
with chairs being thrown around.
Hammy was standing at the altar waiting for Triple H to come out of the curtain.
By God, it's Kane. Too bad my wedding wasn't like The Undertaker's attempt winning at Stephanie McMahon. All right.
Well, broken up by Stone Cold Steve Austin and Ken Shamrock.
Yeah, it wouldn't have happened. So, this is pretty amazing to watch, to realize that Trish Stratus retired 10 years ago this week.
Yeah, that's like...
And she's still referenced on WWE yep. programming when you talk yep. about all-time great women's wrestlers.
Yeah, her and Lita are both heavily referenced.
And
China
not so much, but China broke boundaries that no one else has replicated since. Yeah, she went a little outside of WWE, but when she was there,
I think she was the
first catalyst to Trish and Lita, who exploded. Yeah. And you know what it is? China lit the match. Trish and Lita was the dynamite.
Yeah. Just like Natalya and AJ Lee lit the match, and Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, and et cetera are the dynamite.
I mean, you look at the Trish and Lita matches from any part of their 7-year rivalry, and they're gold. Every single yep. one of them is a fantastic match. And for my money, Trish Stratus is one of the best women's wrestlers to ever. Like, she had everything. She had the moves in the range, the competitiveness to learn, and I mean, let's be honest here, the eye candy too. She had the entire package of what everyone would have liked.
I think that her and Lita are the top two of that generation of women's wrestlers in WWE.
There's no doubt in my mind, no doubt.
But like, I don't know, like I like as far as in ring work goes. Like, yes, Trish was great. She became a really good wrestler. But Lita was, like, leaps and bounds better, which has to do with her Lucha Libre training.
I think so. I would agree to that.
Like, she knew what she was doing.
Lita was an originally trained wrestler. Trish kind of learned on the go, but man, and did she learn quick.
And Lita had to overcome doing her style after Vince McMahon had her do a boob job. So let's... True story, folks. Back then, Vince made the women's wrestlers get boob jobs.
And yet we just praise Vince McMahon.
Hey, listen.
Everyone has their bad traits.
Listen, I said this on the Good Girls Bad Thoughts episode, which you can download on BrainStewRadio.com in the download section. Audio downloads. Vince McMahon is the kind of guy, he's a 300 hitter. But if the 300 hitter... was hitting all home runs the 30% of the time he hit the ball out.
Right.
So, like, the hits that he gets more than make up for the plethora of misses.
That is true. All right.
Except the women's division, he's more like, I'd say, like a 180 hitter.
We can discuss that for a future time, but... we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have Raw and SmackDown to recap, and we got a pay-per-view on Sunday. Mike?
Yes, we do.
We have Clash of Champions to discuss.
God, I'm not going to get used to having pay-per-views every other week now. Holy shit.
I know. It's going to make show prep much easier.
All right. This is going to turn us into the laziest show to prep ever.
Yes, it already is.
Oh, hey, one, like, pay-per-view pre-show, pay-per-view post-show.
All right,
pay-per-view pre-show.
We need to find like maybe one topic to discuss.
Yeah, we got to start finding topics to discuss on top of pay-per-views because it's just.
All right, well, we will be talking about a pay-per-view, and we're on SmackDown when we come back. This is Brain Stew Wrestling. Stay
right
there.
Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or 2-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com.
Who doesn't like to be naked? Sure, we all do. But the police usually frown upon public nudity. Well, now you can stay out of jail and look good doing so with a t-shirt from Skunk Duck Design. From sports to politics to the wide world of nerdcraft, there's a shirt for you at Skunk Duck. They even have shirts for you for 20 followers. Skunk Duck shirts come in both regular and women's cut, and with sizes from extra small to 5XL, there's a shirt for everyone. Oh, did I mention they have hoodies too? Because they totally have hoodies. Go to teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign to get the shirt that's right for you. That's teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign. New shirts are being added all the time, so follow Skunk Duck on social media at facebook.com/skunkduckdesign for all the latest updates. Skunk Duck Design, the best ducking designs on the web.
Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brainstew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brainstew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brainstew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to brainstewmedia.com today. Back live, Brainstew Wrestling.
All right, breaking news that I just found on the social media outlets before we came back from break, before we go to the Raw, SmackDown, and Clash of Champions talk. Everybody who's been watching wrestling for a while remembers Billy and Chuck and Rico, who was their manager. This came out today. Apparently, he's having serious health problems, according to Kenny Bolin. He's dealing with heart issues and apparently has post-concussion issues. And Rico was never really known as a drug guy, which the article also states. Like, he never took steroids, didn't really have drug issues. But apparently, he's been having a lot of memory issues, and apparently he's been barely recognizable to what he used to be because of his condition, and he's, like, suffering from severe memory loss as well. So, like, that may be another, like, wrestler of that time being a casualty of the rigors of what wrestling used to be back then.
I'm just reading up now. It's just, oh boy.
Yeah. It's a little sombering. But now we're going to go to Raw Talk.
Wow. What? What a transition, Mike.
Jesus After Christ. That, it was breaking news. It was like he was a big deal for like a little bit. And
yeah, as a manager. He managed Billy and Chuck, and then he managed 3 Minute Warning.
He was like, and he was part of that big angle with Billy and Chuck, the gay wedding angle. So like that was like, I remember that getting a lot of press for various reasons. So,
and Rico from his wrestling career, he was a sergeant with the Nevada Taxicab Authority and part-time district security officer for the U.S. Marshals. So, like, he stayed active in law enforcement. Yeah, looking at his current photos on his updates on WWE.com.
I mean, apparently it's worse than those pictures because, like, apparently his health has deteriorated severely. And again, he didn't take drugs, but, like, the concussion issues, another reason why, like, if a wrestler gets a concussion, they can't wrestle for at least 30 days. Like,
Daniel Bryan has come out and said that he still has the urge to wrestle again, and
they just won't let him.
And I don't blame WWE.
They don't want another Benoit in their hands. Like, I get it.
I mean, if they allowed Bryan to come back and Brian somehow got injured again and with a concussion, and then something serious happened with him after said concussion. I mean, not only do you have a class action lawsuit on WWE, but you also now have civil suits from Brian's family.
Yep.
You have civil suits from health boards at like, why the hell did you let this guy go back in the ring when he was dangerous?
And the fact that Brie would be mad because Brie Bella would be without a fella.
All right, come on. Usually I'm the one to try to make jokes with serious matter, but Jesus. Roles have switched tonight, guys.
It's a double turn, folks.
I mean, I totally understand why WWE doesn't let Bryan compete again. I understand completely.
Yeah, I get it.
All right.
I know he wants to get back in there, but that's why they nixed the Miz Bryan angle a little bit, because they knew they couldn't deliver on what it would have required to have like a good payoff, which was Bryan wrestling the Miz.
So let's go to Monday Night Raw. Mike?
All right, so it starts off with Roman Reigns talking, but it's Roman Reigns talking, so... yeah. And that sets up the matches for that night. It was Reigns versus Rusev for the US title Clash of Champions, but for Raw tonight, it was Rollins versus Rusev and Reigns versus Kevin Owens in a cage match, in a non-title match. So... the bad thing is that you knew there was going to be dusty finishes for both matches, because no one in the matches could afford a loss before the pay-per-view. Like, it was questionable booking for whoever's writing Raw. Let's be real on that one. So that, you know, and then Jericho made a call to Foley. Then we had our U.S. title, U.S. champion Rusev versus Seth Rollins match. It's an okay match. I mean, Rollins got what he could out of Rusev. The good thing about that is the fact that it was a double count out, so it protected both guys a little bit. Following that, you got Dana Brooke trying to make her case to Foley, trying to make it so that Bayley and Sasha had to wrestle each other to become number one contender. Foley turned it into a triple threat match. So that ends with furthering like the storyline of a split between Dana and Charlotte, which no one's going to give a shit about because Dana's not good, and Charlotte needs someone like a Sasha Banks or a Becky Lynch or a Bayley to have a good match. Let's see. Next up on the dock here, Jericho. Well, there was like a squash, like a Bayley and Charlotte and Dana Brooke versus a Sasha and Bayley match, which...
Can we just talk about how amazing Jericho has been the past couple of weeks?
Oh, I was getting there. So Jericho comes out with his list of grievances for Mick Foley.
For the last 2 months, Mick Foley has been doing a terrible job as a general manager, and everybody here knows it. He's been screwing me over, he's been screwing over my best friend Kevin Owens, and he's been screwing up the entire show. So I have made the list of Jericho, and I've put all my grievances against Mick Foley right here, and I'm going to read them out to you right now. Starting with number one, Mick Foley is trying to drive a wedge between me and my best friend Kevin Owens. That's not happening ever.
This reminds me a lot of the list of 1,000 moves that Jericho...
Yeah, like the... when he like brought out that... Oh god!
That really, really long list of that really long paper.
Yeah. Oh god, I miss Ralphus.
And trying to list, they went back. They went to commercial break, and then they came back, and Jericho was still reading off the list of moves. This reminds me of that. I like businessman Jericho with the clipboard.
Let's go to number five. Like I said, terrible fashion sense. He looks ridiculous. What did you say? What'd you say to me? No, right there. What'd you say to me? You know what? You just made the list. Brace Face in row 12 is now on the list. I'll put you all on the list.
It's the best promo he's done in a while.
He's so goddamn entertaining.
Brace Face in row 12 is now a reason why he thinks Mick Foley is a bad Raw GM. So,
I mean, can I just say that Jericho is someone who should not still be good at this age of his career. He should just be there to put over young talent, and that's it. And
but he's still entertaining as fuck. Yes.
Number 12, Mick Foley has developed an affection for that human, happy-go-lucky leper, Sami Zayn. Well, you know what I did to Sami Zayn last week on Raw, right? I smashed a cell phone right over his stupid head. And next week, I'm going to cross them off the list of Jericho for good. Do you understand what I'm saying to you right now?
The Enzo Amore Jeep.
So Enzo and Cass come out.
To be entertaining because they're Enzo and Cass. And
to be
funny.
By what you mean, Mike, is more entertaining because Jericho's already entertaining.
Yeah.
Now we get Enzo and Cass to come
out.
Cass
has an issue to address. And
bada
that
boom.
Issue is you claiming that you're best friends with Kevin Owens when I know you're not best friends with Kevin Owens. You want to know how I know you're not best friends with Kevin Owens? Because a real best friend would never let another best friend come down to this ring wearing that vest and that scarf.
And you see Jericho in the back
writing.
Just
writing. And then...
Oh, Jericho should not be this entertaining.
He should at this point...
When I think
more
of best friends, I think about Enzo and Cass.
How you doing?
Bart and Milhouse.
How you doing?
Beavis and Butthead.
How you doing?
Bert and Ernie.
How you doing?
Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn.
How you doing?
Ashton Kutcher and Danny Masterson.
Shut up. Half those people don't even exist, okay? And
His math is bad, more than half.
By the way, I love how all they have to do is just start listing the things
and the crowd just all chants, how you doing? How you doing is going to be the new what or yes.
I hope not, because I hope there's enough room for all of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Kushner, what is this, 1998, huh? Did you think of that witty little quip while you're listening to your Spice Girls CD wearing your conch shell necklace?
Conch shell necklace.
You think it's funny? Wouldn't you guys want to relax and blow off some steam at the Shining Star Resort?
And so the Shining Stars come out in...
And ruin it.
And ruin any momentum that this bit had.
Hotel?
No, we can just skip them.
And that's so two lucky people can call the family when we, the New Day, defeat Gallows and Anderson this Sunday at Clash of Champions to remain your
WWE World Tag Team Champions!
I like how, like, all right, so, like, well, nice little touch. Big E gets really into that when they're doing the like, it's almost, like, animated. And then Gallows and Anderson come out and do their promo.
Middle of the ring, and your response is to come out here and talk about your ridiculous up, up, down, down YouTube channel like anybody cares about that?
Nobody cares. I do. I subscribe to it. It's a very entertaining channel.
Talking about real estate scams. And New Day. New Day, you're always out here talking about your stupid cereal.
Oh, shots fired.
All right. Enough.
Not Jericho.
You know what? Originally, the list of Jericho was all about Mick Foley. But now, guess what? I'm starting a new list. It's a list of stupid idiots. And all of you are on it.
I want him to continue the stupid idiot list every week, though.
Yes, please. Pick out one random person in the audience.
I wanted to scroll out like the thank you list in Trish Stratus' Hall of Fame thank you speech.
Yes. So what did you think? Raw overall was... Cesaro and Sheamus.
Cesaro tied up the series, and I have a theory about Cesaro. I think he's going to win this, get the future opportunity, and then be traded to SmackDown for The Miz. I think the trade will happen... Like, they'll give Dolph Ziggler a rematch against The Miz. Dolph Ziggler will win the IC title. And then Cesaro and The Miz are traded for each other.
That's not a bad theory, but I'm also... I didn't think this best of seven idea would work, and I would get bored of it. Sheamus and Cesaro have been having pretty decent matches.
They have, and they're doing it in a way that, like, it makes Cesaro sympathetic in there with the back injury storyline they did. Like, in match two. So, like, they're doing a pretty good job of keeping this fresh. Because not only are they having this seven-match series, but they also had three matches against each other before that.
God, what if Cesaro wins this? Or whoever wins this and then lose the title shot.
Listen, I mean, there's two heel champions. And I don't believe that, like, there were rumors, people thinking that Cesaro was opting, like, not re-signing. I think that's WWE feeding that information to facilitate a trade to SmackDown. You've got two heel champions. It doesn't make sense to give Sheamus the win here. So, I honestly, it's going to be Cesaro winning the series, I think. But we'll get back to, we'll go to that when we talk about Clash of Champions. But it's been a really good series. And then the main event, Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns. I mean, good match. And there was also the four-way with the Cruiserweights, which was a fantastic match. It was Brian Kendrick, Grand Metalik, Rich Swann, and Cedric Alexander. The Brian Kendrick won to become the number one contender to TJ Perkins' Cruiserweight Championship. But it was like Grand Metalik has great spots where he cat like tight ropes on the top rope. Like there, this Cruiserweight division is going to be insane, and hopefully now that they have this division, they don't need to have filler to fill so they can do 3 hours. They can like have just 3 hours.
Now they
can
have 3 hours of like, actual good wrestling.
Look at that. Go back to that moonsault they did. That standing moonsault. That looked fantastic as hell. All right, it's coming up here. Just everyone who can watch it now. Because this is...
standing like, shooting star.
Or no, stay a standing shooting star, man. Oh, holy crap. That's a move that typically you need to do it from the top rope. Like... I've been very impressed with Grand Metalik since I watched the first round of the Cruiserweight Classic.
I've been impressed with everyone in this whole division.
Like, look, the sequence of moves. And there's Cedric Alexander, who Ring of Honor dropped the ball on.
Who had arguably the match
of the year.
A match of the year with Ibushi.
Yep. Like... that Cruiserweight Classic had a lot of match of the year contenders in my eyes. Like, there was a lot there. Oh, look, there's Kendrick doing his move, trying to do his move that Ava Marie appropriated. Well, just look at that transition, though. Like, this is just great.
I cannot wait to see what happens with the Cruiserweight division. I'm very excited for it.
And so then Kevin Owens loses to Roman Reigns. It was a cage match. So they did it in a way that, like, protected both guys. Like, Owens didn't look worse for losing. But the highlight, Rusev attacks Roman Reigns post-match, and Kevin Owens has this to say during the attack as it's being set up, and...
We have this clip from Twitter, so...
Yeah, so give us a second.
Let's go something! Let's go something!
Now watch!
What happened was...
Kevin Owens was being Kevin Owens. That's all you need
Rusev
to say.
Rusev comes out to interfere. And as Rusev starts attacking Reigns, Owens comes out and just says, Machka something. Kevin Owens being snarky and breaking fourth walls as always.
Oh, it's great. My favorite thing to do if I need a laugh is to look up the list of tweets of Kevin Owens just wrecking people on Twitter.
All right, so let's transition to SmackDown real quick. And I think we have maybe only one or two highlights to show you on SmackDown. And then we got to predict Clash of Champions.
Yep.
So I think the one and only highlight from SmackDown that even needs discussing is John Cena loses clean?
Again. All right.
Again?
This is the second time in like a month. What's going on? Is, like, John Cena feeling all right? Have they locked Vince McMahon into a closet?
If you don't believe this for yourself, here's what happened.
Yeah, no shenanigans, no interference, nothing like that.
It's a right hand. Oh. Looking for the attitude.
Just a clean pin.
Body, Ambrose.
And not even eating a finisher for the clean pin.
That was a reversal of the attitude adjustment into a pin.
Yep. And next week, Ambrose faces AJ Styles.
What an amazing thing they've been doing with Ambrose on SmackDown.
Yep.
That's quickly becoming Ambrose's show.
They're giving him the push he should have gotten a year ago, at least.
I'm loving what they're doing with Ambrose. I'm loving what they're doing with Styles. SmackDown's becoming watchable, Mike.
It is. SmackDown, I think, is the best-paced show because it's only 2 hours.
Yeah, you can only fit so much in 2 hours.
Exactly.
And you can only fit so much in 1 hour, but obviously that's not happening today, guys. So, let's get right to it. Clash of Champions, because we have to be out of here soon.
Yep.
Here we go. Here are the matches. And I'm just looking at these matches, Mike. Stacked card.
Again, I have a theory that we're close to the golden era for WWE. The talent's right. The talent's there. They're starting to listen to the fans with as far as booking goes. It's not going to be like the Attitude Era, because they're not going to, like, the stuff that they got away with, there's no way they're getting away with now. But, like, we're getting another golden age pretty quickly.
This is slowly becoming a new golden age in WWE. You're absolutely right, Mike. So let's start from the kickoff. Alicia Fox versus Nia Jax.
Nia Jax is winning that. That's no question about it. She's there to lose to Nia Jax.
I completely agree. Easy pick there. Watch we get it wrong. Sami Zayn versus Chris Jericho.
That's one Sami Zayn's winning. The rumor is he's getting added to the world title, the universal title picture after this pay-per-view. So I'm picking Sami Zayn to win the match. And let's face it, Jericho is basically putting young talent over at this point.
Jericho is in the ladder of his career. He's in his last maybe 2 years at tops of his in-ring career, and his purpose right now is to give us entertaining promos like he's doing on Raw and putting over young talent. Yep. That's all that he's meant to do at this point. He has nothing left to prove, so this obvious pick here is Sami Zayn, but look what happened with WrestleMania and AJ Styles. He went over Styles at WrestleMania, so...
Yeah, but, I mean, AJ Styles didn't need... AJ Styles is perfectly fine, though.
The WWE Cruiserweight Championship. TJ Perkins versus the Brian Kendrick.
Perkins. They're building that division around Perkins. They're not going to have him lose the title a week after winning it.
It doesn't make sense. You're reintroducing a title. You need to give it a little prestige.
And
you have to give it a lengthy run.
And I fucking love that belt design.
Yeah, it's not that bad. Now that I see the full resolution of it, and not from like a leaked photo, it's a very nice looking belt.
Pretty fucking sweet.
And my girlfriend will be cheering for TJ Perkins, because we found another boyfriend for her. And TJ Perkins. Not you know.
You have to step up your being for trans rights game then, Hammy. Holy shit.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, I think Perkins is winning the match, let's be honest. They didn't give him
expecting a great match, though.
Yeah.
Best of seven. Match number seven. Winner takes all. Cesaro versus Sheamus.
People are going to think I'm being very biased right now, but Cesaro. No sense to give it to Sheamus.
It makes no sense for Sheamus to win the seventh match after Cesaro coming back from zero.
Exactly.
Three matches to none.
It makes zero sense having Sheamus win this.
Doesn't make sense. Hey, man, we're blowing through these real quick here. Tag Team Championships. The New Day versus Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. I think this is when it finally happens. I think the New Day's reign comes to an end.
Yeah. They
got the year. They've celebrated a year-long reign with the titles. I think it makes only sense for Gallows and Anderson to finally take over.
How many days are they at with the tag? Because they, like, I'm going to check one thing here really quick, because the only way I see New Day retaining is if they're not at the, the demolition reign length. They may be trying to have them break that.
Well, they can't be that far off now.
I mean they're pretty close. I think it was like something like 417 days.
They're almost there.
They're pretty close.
They're almost there.
Like, they're practically knocking at the door of it.
So, okay, do we see the New Day break the longest tag team championship record? Or do Gallows and Anderson come back and win the titles?
Oh, man. Ooh, I'm checking now because, I mean, they're going to have them hold that for however long it takes until they...
If they're going for that, then I might just swing my pick right here because I was going to pick Gallows and Anderson, but I think I might be switching my pick to the New Day.
Demolition had it for 400 and I think it was 78 days, actually.
Oh, so New Day's got until at 2017 still.
No, they're actually at like 395 plus right now. So they'll be at about, like, they'll be around 400 by the time. Yeah, about 2017.
New Year's.
Actually.
Roughly.
Let me double check that.
I mean, we have calculators. I don't know why we're not using a calculator here, but it brings them to roughly 2017, around that time. So I don't know. Okay. Are we switching picks here? Are we picking New Day over Gallows and Anderson?
I'm, like, having a tough, like... All right, so I don't know if they're going to have them. They're either going to have them. They might, like, talk about it and have them lose it. There's a pretty good chance they actually retain. But I'm going to go with Gallows and Anderson ending the reign. But if not, New Day's not losing them until they get to, like, at least 279.
All right.
Or 479, I mean.
I'm picking New Day. You swing my vote here. I'm picking the New Day.
Yeah, like it makes like, yeah, New Day is probably winning that.
And here we go,
Sasha. Sasha's winning it. The only reason Charlotte has it is because Sasha hurt her back.
Women's Championship. Charlotte versus Sasha Banks versus Bayley.
Yeah, like I said, it's. Charlotte's losing.
How did Bayley get introduced to this match? I thought.
All right, so they did it like I mentioned earlier. So
did I miss something? Did
yes,
I have
you
a
did.
Brain fart here?
Yes, you did. So
because I could have swore over the weekend when we taped Good Girls Bad Thoughts, we said it was just Sasha and Charlotte.
They changed things. So what happened on Raw? Dana Brooke showed a video and it showed while Sasha was pinning Bayley, Sasha's shoulders were also on the ground. So Foley added Bayley to the match.
Okay. So this happened on Monday. See, spoiler, guys. I didn't watch Raw. I know, bad to host a wrestling show, not watch Raw, but I didn't watch Raw this week.
I did, though, so. I'm the good host.
Okay.
It's like good cop, bad cop, good host, bad
yeah,
host.
Yeah, I was bad host this week. So, triple threat match, three of the four horsewomen. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that Sasha Banks wins this. I mean, like yeah. You just said, Mike, the only reason why Charlotte is holding the title is because Sasha got injured temporarily, and they weren't sure what to do with her. So, I mean... Easy pick there.
Yeah, it's going to be the lock of the night, let's be honest.
And the rumor is, unless I read differently, that match is still main eventing the show.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of, like, Kevin Owens said he was main eventing, but they might have just been having to say that to throw off rumors, or it might be like a co-main event thing.
I mean, I hope that the women get a chance to main event a pay-per-view.
Yeah, they're...
I hope.
I mean, with the brand split, there's going to be chances if they don't, but they should. Like, this is a good opportunity for them to do so.
United States Champion Rusev versus Roman Reigns. Match that didn't happen to SummerSlam is finally going to happen at the Clash of Champions.
I'm torn on this match. I mean, it would be a good way to keep Roman Reigns out of the world title picture for him beating Rusev, but...
But that required... Picking Roman Reigns to win.
I know. That's the tough part.
That's the predicament. We want Roman out of the world title picture, but in order to stay out, he needs to beat Rusev.
Which now makes him a triple threat champion in WWE, which, like...
Oh, I'm torn!
I'm gonna... They're gonna give Roman Reigns the U.S. title.
I think so. I hate to say it reluctantly. I am picking Roman
Reigns.
Rusev
will fail to Machka something, and then he'll lose the title.
And in what is sure to be an amazing in-ring spectacle, Universal Championship Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins.
Apparently they're keeping... Actually, I might change my pick to Rusev in the last match. Apparently Rollins and Reigns are going to feud and Reigns is going to turn heel. and they're going to feud but be kept away from the Universal title for a while. That's the rumor. I'm picking Kevin Owens either way because it's just too early to have him drop the title. Yes, I know he's the longest reigning Universal champion at about 3 weeks in.
It's like what you just said with the cruiserweight, Mike. It's a brand new championship. You already don't want to ruin its prestige by switching champions. You already had to switch it once because Finn Balor got injured.
I think what's gonna happen is Owens retains, Rollins gets a rematch, but they throw someone else in there like Jericho or Sami Zayn.
To which what you said earlier, Sami Zayn.
Yep.
Oh, so we're going to see a triple threat match between Owens, Zayn, and Rollins?
If that happens, that'll be a match of the year contender.
I'm already excited for the match, and it's just a rumor.
Yeah, I'm excited for this match, too. It's going to be two top talents.
I am picking Kevin Owens in this one.
Yeah, this match 2 or 3 years ago was a dream match.
Yeah. This is a match. You know what it is? These two must have faced each other at least one point in
Ring
of Honor.
Yeah, no, they did.
Okay.
There's actually like a gif of like a promo Kevin Steen, who became Kevin Owens, ran about Tyler Black, who became Seth Rollins. Something to the effect of, like, I'm going to take that title and put it around my fat fucking waist and then become champion of the universe.
And well,
that's what he legit said that. Like, it was a funny promo. And it was addressed to Tyler Black, Seth Rollins.
All right, guys. Those are our Clash of Champions picks. And you can download the show, as always, by going to BrainStewRadio.com. You can download all of the shows on the BrainStew Radio Network by going to BrainStewRadio.com.
Or you can search on iTunes if you want. Like, there's
or search
a lot
on iTunes.
Of options. There's no excuse for not listening.
And remember, guys, BrainStew Wrestling is presented every week by BrainStew Radio. BrainStew Radio is brought to you by BrainStew Media. Check out our studio rates, online mixing deals, and live sound recording by going to BrainStewMedia.com. BrainStew Radio graphics and designed by Skunk Duck Designs for all of your graphic arts needs. Skunk Duck Designs doesn't know better. BrainStew Radio is happy to be affiliated with Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars to deliver you high-quality independent pro wrestling. Check out their upcoming schedule at WrestlingIsMagic.com. For Hipster Punchy, I am at Hams Gruber. This is BrainStew Wrestling. We will see you next week.